It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled, a Thursday edition of the program here for you. Thanks for hanging out with us a couple days before 4th of July. I hope you get the 3rd of July off. You know why? Because we get it off. And so I was like, I want everybody to have that day off. I hope that your fireworks are safe and that you keep yourself safe out there.
Do you like fireworks, like your own personal fireworks?
I have been known to spend money on fireworks in the past. The last few years, it's so hard because
it's
a
disease with me.
Yeah, you spend a lot of money on fireworks and then you go, what did we just do here? That was 8 minutes of of watching these fireworks go off, and now that money's up in smoke. And then there are people who are like, I'm glad you spent that money so I could watch you burn it.
I love fireworks.
I know you do.
Money does not matter.
Well,
to me.
Just do it safe, okay?
Okay.
Don't set the mountain on fire over there in Draper, okay, buddy?
Gotcha.
Hey, I'm coming. I'm sending the fire marshal over because I don't believe you. That tone was not real.
I don't even set them off anymore.
Oh, okay. Good.
I live on the mountain.
I know. That's what I was going to say. You live on the mountain. I got a cul-de-sac, so it's perfect. The cul-de-sac is where the fireworks shows are at.
You got a good firework launch pad.
Here's what we're going to do. We've got more things to cover on the show today. Thanks for being with us. We're going to jump off here with our 805 cut, excuse me, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Mike Conley and his role now with the Utah Jazz and him and the desire that fans have for him to step it on up. When are we going to see the Mike Conley that we're paying for? It's the 805 cut.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so right off the bat here, Scott, if you go to KSLsports.com, you can check this story out. Our own Ben Anderson did the write-up of this, and Mike Conley and his return to the bubble with the rest of the team, which, by the way, I saw that the NBA is going to be spending $150 million over this time to maintain this new life inside the bubble. People are having all sorts of heydays talking about the players.
The boy in the plastic bubble.
Yeah, yes. And people not being able to go out, not being able to have any nightlife. Wink, right?
Right.
That's been criticized quite a bit because these players, you know, not having their families there or not having their girlfriends there. All of this has turned into kind of a hilarious joke. It will not be a joke if the players end up getting sick because Adam Silver yesterday said that they were not messing around, that if they had a massive spike in COVID, they would be willing to shut the season down. The person that the Utah Jazz fans are ready to see take off is Mike Conley. And Mike Conley has been somewhat of a disappointment. The first year that he's been with the Jazz, $33 million, $33 million also for next year. And you just haven't seen the scoring and you haven't seen the leadership on the court that he was supposed to come with. Right, Scott?
Well, I think if there was a scenario that would be perfect for Mike Conley in this first year, it's this. It's taking a timeout. It's getting a chance to recalibrate and kind of look back on the season. I've brought this up before on our show, and I think it's a perfect scenario, along with Bojan being gone, that Boyan is bygone. And,
a bygone Boyan era.
Yeah. Yeah. But it might be an opportunity to say, okay, I need to really step up and I need to find opportunities to score more and to be more. And you just felt with Connolly that he just felt like he was pressing too much. He was just trying to maybe, because I think he's the kind of guy that, like, he cares, you know, he wants to win, and he was brought here and it was all kind of built around him, and he was that missing piece, or he was that piece to take the Jazz deep into the playoffs and maybe even compete for a title, and so he, you know, obviously he felt that pressure, and this is just, there's something about resetting. And just saying, okay, you just stop and you kind of evaluate. And he sits there and you know what he just says? He goes, man, this is so stupid. I know how to play basketball. I know how to do this. And you just get to start over again.
We have some sound from him talking about finding his stride when he comes back and plays for the Jazz in Orlando in the bubble. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I honestly think this is a great opportunity for me. I think, you know, having a break in between and just being able to sit back and take a step away and kind of evaluate and see what needed to be done differently and different ways to get in a better rhythm and, you know, lock in and approach the game differently. I think it's huge for me. So I'm excited for that and getting down there for that. But Orlando, you know, I have, you know, this is a new situation for us all. I think it'll kind of bring us all back to, you know, our childhoods more than anything where we just, you know, it's summertime basketball. But yet it's meaningful basketball at the same time. But we're just out there playing for the love of the game, really. You know, it's you just love to go out there and compete. And, you know, guys are going to have to do it without having their, you know, their normal routines at home and normal recovery systems and schedules and regimens. It's just going to have to be, you know, something that we're all new and thrown into. And whoever can adjust to, you know, the uncomfortable, the different circumstances or – just unusual, I think, we'll do the best.
Okay, so Mike Connolly, obviously things are going to be different for everybody going back into it, but I don't know. I think that all of us are going, yeah, do it for the love of the game, but also win some dang basketball games and make a little bit of a run in these in this shortened playoff situation.
I've said it before, Alex, and I'll say it again, and it's I don't know that the best team's going to win all this. It's the team that's going to adapt to this. It's the team that's going to want to play the most. And Mike Connolly may be one of those players that really benefits from getting a do-over and getting a restart. I mean, look, the guy won the horse competition, so clearly he's ready.
Stop it. Now, he's what you might have forgotten about.
But
he missed 20 games this year with the hamstring.
Right.
And you know, too, being the former athlete, anything that slows you down in whatever kind of a rhythm you're trying to find or a stride that you're kind of trying to find, and I don't know like which sport would be the quote unquote easiest to kind of just ease back into and go, oh, I'm going to find my stride more quickly. Basketball, especially in this Quinn Snyder offense, is not an easy place to find yourself and just jumping in and plugging back in. So we get real critical of Mike Connolly, but the reality is we didn't see. I mean, he missed, you know, 19 of those first games there in the first part of the season, the first two thirds of the regular season, and he's never really been able to find his stride. I don't know what that means, finding his stride, though. So what are your expectations for Mike Connolly? If Boyan's out, I think asking for 20 points a game is not an unreasonable ask.
No, I think having a shorter bench, especially this is a short end of the season. You got eight regular season games, and then you have the playoffs. And so players will relish getting more opportunities, more offensive opportunities, more chances to play, to score, to pick up the slack of, you know, the 20 plus points that Boyan had. And so it not only Mike Connolly will get that and see that, but there'll be other players, maybe Jordan Clarkson, maybe some of these other guys will get more playing time and have more scoring opportunities. And then some of the regulars, I know this has been brought up before, but they'll have that opportunity to play more minutes in the game. And so that's not always a bad thing. The more time you get to play, the better rhythm that you're going to get into, and they don't have the whole season to go through. They just bust it out for the playoffs.
Hey, if you're going somewhere for the holiday, we hope that you're staying safe out there on the road, and be careful. Make sure and just take extra care in heading down that road, knowing that there are a lot of other people out there also trying to get to a destination for the 4th of July weekend. We've got more to go right here. Hopefully we keep you company on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us on KSL News Radio. We'll be right back.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Hanging out with you, getting ready for your 4th of July weekend coming up here. The parties start early, of course, on these types of weekends, and we hope you're having a good time. If you miss any part of the show, you can always download it. The podcast exists. Just go to KSLSports.com, click on the podcast button, and you'll find us right there. They made us wear a lot of makeup for those pictures. Well, me. I was wearing a lot of makeup for those pictures. It's fine.
Do we look pretty?
No, yeah. I mean, I have not a blemish on me. They made me put makeup over my beard.
Oh, that's right. We did have makeup for that. I remember that. Yes.
We're sweating through the makeup. Yeah. He's got all these lights on us. It's fine. Here's the deal. College football, you know, we talked about how COVID-19, the pandemic, has really precipitated a lot of change that we probably wouldn't have seen, and we're going to see more.
Right.
And schedules are going to have to be shifted around. We don't know what the college football landscape is going to look like in terms of actual play this year. One of the things that causes issues is all the travel. If those end up being, and a team like BYU, who has gone out far, you know, out to the East Coast quite often over the last few years, and a team like Utah
that has UMass trip every year.
Oh boy, it's nice. Head on out. Hey, remember that East Carolina game? Pretty fun over there in Greenville, North Carolina. Those trips are going to end up being looked at as easily on the chopping block. You can't take those trips now in the middle of a pandemic. Or if you're looking at how to make this work regionally, there is Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated put together a whole like kind of new landscape of college football. And it's 12 10-team conferences. And you're going to love this, Scott, because it's the Utes and Cougars are back in the same conference again. Are you ready for this? So I'm going to roll out some of these different conferences that he's put together. And the whole idea is everybody just stays in their region. You stay right here close, and you can hang out and play each other. I'll skip all the East and everything because I don't want any of those. But I will start in the Sun Belt Conference, which is where Alabama now finds itself, which I think is fun.
That's what you like about this.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn.
What is it, all the teams that start with A?
Yeah, La Tech. Let me see here. LSU, Memphis, Ole Miss, Tulane, Southern Miss, Mississippi State. And I think this wolf is Arkansas State. Either way, that's your new Sun Belt. But the idea is just keeping them all together.
Right.
Let's go to the Rocky Mountain region.
The Rocky Mountain region.
Which is where Utes and Cougars find themselves. And this is actually, I actually love this conference. Not just because BYU would finally be in a conference. Air Force, Arizona, Arizona State. Boise State, BYU, Colorado. Colorado State, New Mexico State, UNLV. Utah, Utah State, Wyoming.
Huh.
It's kind of interesting, right? So the idea was you had to spread around Power 5 programs, too. So they spread around these Power 5 programs. So you still have your Arizona
State. That's a fun.
You've added Boise State to a conference that would actually be, I think, a little bit more effective in, I think, you know. And while Wyoming and New Mexico State and UNLV might not necessarily be that attractive to you.
You got to have the bottom tier, though, of
there's always going to be some, yeah. So here's the new Pac-12. Cal, Fresno State, Hawaii. Great start.
Wow.
Still going strong with Nevada, the Wolfpack. They got in. Now, here we go. Oregon, Oregon State, Stanford, San Diego State, UCLA, USC, Washington, Washington State. So that's a true pack, like a true Pacific.
That's the old Pac-6.
Yeah.
Washington, Washington State, Oregon State, USC,
right.
UCLA.
So you've got this actual, like, in the Pacific.
Hawaii and Nevada, though?
Hawaii and Nevada. Yeah. It's tough. Well, and the other thing is, if you're Hawaii and you're playing football, there's going to have to be some extended learning. You're just going to have to live in California.
Like
for the
Hawaii, season.
Yes. Hawaii yeah. would have to stay somewhere in the Pacific.
You just go into Oakland. Oakland Alameda County Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not being used right now.
Raiders
Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think that this is one of those things that it sounds fun to realign these things, but like, If it's
yeah, but how do you travel in a situation like this?
Are you do you get on buses and travel,
or do you still get on an airplane?
Well, when they say we want to stay regional, we want to stay close, we don't want to take these long trips, and then you go, okay, so at some point BYU is going to have to play down in Las Vegas at UNLV, or Colorado's going to have to go to Tucson, you know, and play Arizona. So what do? They probably take these long
buses? You'd probably drive to Las Vegas if you're Utah and BYU.
Utah and BYU, that makes sense. But Arizona to Boulder.
Arizona to Boise.
Arizona to Boise. I mean,
that's a long trip.
These
right
are long
there.
Stretches. And I don't think that – and I get the whole – I don't know if he was just suggesting this as a possible temporary move. But to me, if anything good comes out of this for anybody, independence can't survive in a pandemic. I'm not saying that as a like your football program will shrivel up and die, BYU and Notre Dame. What I'm saying is that your scheduling options are going to be nil. And the idea of trying to find a conference now and for college football to say, hey, look, this is a good time maybe that Notre Dame actually full-on joins the ACC. This is a good time that BYU finds a place either in the Mountain West or in some weird version of what
the
Big
Ten look like. Because you'd have Michigan,
that's a great question.
Michigan State, Ohio State,
yes,
Illinois.
You could have
Notre Dame in there.
Right, you still have to. Yes,
Indiana, Iowa.
Well, let me see. I'm sure they put Notre Dame somewhere in all.
Iowa,
these,
maybe in like the Midwest somewhere.
Oh,
Minnesota. Where does Minnesota?
Oh, hold on a minute. Notre Dame is put in the Mid American. In this. So here's the Mid American. The Illinois, Kentucky, yeah. Louisville, Marshall, Middle Tennessee, Northern Illinois, Northwestern, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Western Kentucky, and West Virginia. They did not get a good draw on that, conference. Now, the Big Ten, you're talking about like Ohio State and Michigan. They have to be in the same one, right?
Right.
But now they're sharing with Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue, Toledo, Ohio, Miami, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ball State, and Akron.
Ooh.
Oh, don't forget Kent. Sorry, I forgot Kent State. So I'm trying to think in this
that's
alignment.
Very regional.
It's all regional. It's all 100% based on just like, I don't know if it's just because they want to make sure they can find a bus route for all these guys to be on. But and this will never happen. The amount of stuff that would get blown up, the contracts that would have to be blown up, all the stuff. But by the way, the only one that still has
But why not just do it?
Because
why not for let's just say a year?
Because a bunch of rich old dudes just sitting there going, I'm not pulling the trigger on this.
Here what we're gonna do. We're going to put everything on hold. Keep all schedules in the future, we're just moving them out a year. It's like this year doesn't even exist. And then just throw everything into this year and just make it a little different and just say, hey, let's just do it for 1 year. It doesn't matter. In fact, it would be more interesting for people to watch it like this.
Kind of a wild schedule.
Yeah.
Imagine BYU playing Boise State, Utah the next week playing Boise State. And while the Pac-12 schedule is exciting for Utah, to keep it a regional thing, you're playing still a good chunk of the Pac-12 South. Well, you've still got Utah, Arizona State. You don't have the USC game.
No, or UCLA.
Or UCLA, but the UCLA game's garbage. It's just a free win every year. You still play your rival, Colorado.
You get that. But you also get all the schools in the state of Utah. You get Utah State and you get BYU.
That's what everybody's been clamoring for.
And that's an exciting. And Boise kind of comes into the equation, which is a good school.
Arizona
State's a good team. They're a good program.
Yeah. Arizona State, Boise State. Okay, so here's the rank. If you were to rank this, all these teams, Utah would be top of the class. I think Boise State would be right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going Arizona State. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of these.
Arizona State might give Boise a run for their money.
Right. So there's your top three right there. Then I'm going to go BYU, Colorado, Air Force, Colorado State. Oh, but I took a Utah State. No, Utah State's right below. I think would be right below Colorado.
Know. Yeah.
UNLV and New Mexico and it's not New Mexico State. It's New Mexico and Wyoming. Yeah. So it's basically the Mountain West with Arizona and Arizona State added, minus your Fresnos and your Hawaiis. San Diego State. And to me, that's fine. That's exactly how I'd want it. So if we're going to reimagine things and just kind of go with something new and different, I like these. I mean, none of these are bad football games. And if you're talking about a temporary fix, just do it. Just keep everybody right here. And you know what? Keep a bunch of teams in a place for a couple of weeks at a time, or 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Have them play Thursday, Friday, Saturday schedules.
And make sure in an area people get to see the game on TV. They got to view every single game in this alignment.
All right, stay with us. We've got more to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. When we return, Jordan Love being compared by Brett Favre to Taysom Hill, or at least they're saying that he could maybe be used in that Taysom Hill role at Green Bay. Scott's got other ideas, though. Stay with us. He's skeptical. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, settle down. Thanks for being with us. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. And boy, 4th of July almost on us. This is what I love. This is my favorite. When we get to celebrate the 4th of July 2 days in a row. You know, when it's like, because, and we will not be shorted a company holiday. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We're Americans, man.
We're Americans.
It's 3rd of July, 2nd of July. If 4th of July ends up on a Saturday or Sunday, we're like, we're not having this. We're putting it on Monday. We're putting it on Friday. And so either way, it's going to happen, and we're going to enjoy. Or if you're in, you know.
All right. So if it's on Sunday.
Yeah. That's a Monday.
Do you rather have.
Give me Friday.
You don't want Monday.
I don't know, though, because Monday feels terrible to go back to after you've had a couple days off.
Well, and not only that, but it's like celebrating the day after.
That's
the thing.
You go, we missed it.
It's already over.
If you do it on the 3rd, like we're going to do on Friday, that's kind of like kicking it to the next. It's an extended party.
See,
so it's good.
Monday's the drive home day.
Oh, and everybody hates a drive home day.
Yeah.
Everybody hates a drive home day. Well, if you're driving home right now, we hope you're listening to the program. You can download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. We have an interesting little thing to bring up here, Scott. I wanted to bring up this topic with you, having been a quarterback in the NFC Central, or North, I guess, is what we call it.
Black and Blue Division back in my day.
The Black and Blue Division.
Yes.
Why do they call it that? Everybody beats each other up?
Because everyone was just supposedly really tough defense and...
Supposedly. Yeah. You're like, I tore them apart, but whatever.
Well, when I got there, everyone started to throw. I mean, we had 1 year, I think there were four teams that the passers had over 4,000.
Wow.
It was Detroit.
You, Warren Moon.
Brett Favre. And Eric Kramer.
Kramer at the Bears?
Yeah.
Got 4,000
plus? Kramer is in like Jerry Seinfeld Kramer.
But I don't know. I never thought about him throwing for over 4,000 yards. All right. Well, let me bring this up, too, because, you know, it was a whole deal when the Packers drafted Jordan Love.
Right.
And, you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of pouted, and everybody watched him pout, and everybody was like, so how are you feeling about this first-round draft pick? He's like, whoever this guy is, you know, it was like, won't even say his name, all this stuff. Then the politics begin, and then Brett Favre just adds fuel to the fire. as he's been doing over the last few weeks.
Yes.
This one, he says, look, I think there's ways to incorporate Jordan Love into this offense. This is a quote that he gave to TMZ. Much like Taysom Hill with the Saints.
See, I think Brett is like, you put a quarter in him and he'll say anything. Right? He gets paid to do this stuff.
They pay him to go on
and it's just like, yeah, let me say some things that are just...
There are some key things you can say at the Thanksgiving dinner table, and you know Uncle Fred will say something because you're like, and you're going like this, and then you just sit back and let it sit. I don't know if Brett Favre is trolling us, but he threw out Taysom Hill's name and Jordan Love, like, hey, you can use this situation with this brand, this athletic young quarterback, first round talent, and you can make him into something else. Now, I don't think they are different. They're totally different. I never looked at Jordan Love and went, what a dynamic, crazy runner this guy is.
No.
While he was effective on the ground when he wanted to be, but that wasn't his strength. No. It was all about his arm strength and how this guy had arm talent that was NFL level. And that was never Taysom Hill's thing.
No, Taysom Hill was a guy who couldn't throw. You know, it's Jalen Hurts. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, they drafted Jalen Hurts with the idea of,
that could work.
Of implementing him. Well, they even mentioned it when right. they drafted him. And you're right. The Jordan Love is not that type of player. He's a guy. I'm telling you, he can make all these throws. I mean, he has skills as a pure thrower. And I don't see – I think if you put him in, you try to develop him in that role, I think it would create more disharmony than whatever. Really what you want to do with Jordan Love is you wanted to develop him for your quarterback for the future and just kind of really let him watch – and observe Aaron Rodgers for whatever time. You know, if the Packers are doing well, Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in there. But if the Packers are kind of on the slide, you're going to see Aaron Rodgers have a slow, painful exit from the Packers. I'm more mystified by Brett Favre. Like, here's a guy, you know, just this whole comment about Colin Kaepernick and this whole thing about Jordan Love. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not really seeing a lot of his comments and really where they're coming from. I don't know that they're necessarily on point. I mean, Jordan Love is kind of the future quarterback of the NFL in that he's a dual threat guy. And
kind of, but it's a throw first.
But he can run. I mean, that's the offense that
So can Aaron Rodgers.
Had the most success. I know, but
he's not really a runner, but I'm saying when you're smart, those legs will work for you.
Right. I'm just saying he's the trend that's what's going on in the
cannon
NFL.
Cannon for an arm and has some ability to get out of that pocket. Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's
Patrick Mahomes.
That's what we're talking about. So, I look at it and I see this, but let me ask you why Taysom Hill is so effective. Is it because of how athletic he is, or is it because Sean Payton sold out and said, oh, "We're just gonna do this. This is just gonna be a thing for us." I'm sure it's a combination of both, but you can't just ask any team to do this. This took a long time for the Saints to be able to develop this kind of weird Taysom Hill, you know, hybrid that they've created,
and it's very slow in what they've done. If you think of like a baseball team that throws, you know, Nolan Ryan, you know, 105 mile an hour fastballs, that's kind of your Drew Brees. You're getting this constant dose of passing, pass. And then all of a sudden you come in with Gaylord Perry, who throws this knuckleball, and it's just weird. It's just different. And it's hard for teams to adjust to it. Now, if you're seeing that knuckleball over and over and over again, then it's easy to adjust. So the time that Taysom Hill comes into the game is spotty. It's just a changeup. It's something that's a little bit different, and it's not an everyday dose of something. It's still way, way, way down the road with Taysom Hill if he can actually be an everyday guy in the NFL.
The best way for Taysom to be able to develop now is the system that they've got him in and what they're doing with him. I don't know if that's going to end up him being more – if he's going to ever turn over into what a quote-unquote traditional quarterback is. But it behooves Jordan Love to maintain that traditional quarterback path, right? To go, well, he can do anything. Put him in a tight end. It's like, no, man. This is not why
once,
you're bringing
once you
this
start
guy
giving
in.
You know, it's like there's a trickle-down effect. I don't know if you knew this, Alex. It started the very first day you started playing football. There's an evolution, right? And the guy who can throw the ball, that's the quarterback. And then it just kind of trickles down from there. So it's like, well, you're fast and you can kind of catch the ball. You're going to be a running back.
Right.
You fast guys who can't catch the ball, you're going to be linebackers, right? But then if you're a skinny guy who can catch the ball, you're a wide receiver.
Sure.
And if you're a skinny guy who can't, you're a defensive back.
You're a chubby guy. You might have other skills. Doesn't matter. We'll
right.
see on the offensive
so
line.
So you're a chubby guy who can run a little bit. You're either a fullback or you're a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know where the low man on the totem pole is? Do you know who he is? Because he's a person and he does exist.
I almost don't want to hear it because I feel like it was me.
No.
What?
No, you were above in the evolution. You weren't quite at the bottom.
Yeah.
Nose tackle.
He's
a plugger.
Put him in the middle.
He's just a plugger. He's a guy that's got no athletic ability. He's just super big. And all they tell him to do is you just go there. Right there. All you got to do is move like two steps and that's it.
You've heard my carry on the carry stories before. Yeah. I was a halfback till I was 12. Because I was the fastest, tallest kid.
Right.
And they're just like, hand the ball off to him, and I would just fly down the sidelines.
Yeah.
And then I got fat at about 12, 13 years old, and everyone went, you know, you're still kind of quick. Got those quick feet. Have you ever heard of being a tackle? You want to be a tackle, buddy? And that's where I was the rest of my life.
There you go.
I just think that.
See, that evolution works.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I'm more interested in Jordan Love becoming an actual quarterback. I'm sure the Packers are too.
They didn't draft him for any other reason.
It would be a waste of time to try to put somebody in a Swiss Army knife role just because it's worked for the Saints. It was a perfect storm for the Saints to be able to work it with.
You don't
with
draft Taysom a guy Hill. Number one, Alex, and go, we're making you a Swiss
Absolutely
Army knife.
Absolutely not. All right. We're going to take the break here. When we come back, we've got more to go. Oh, let's do our two-minute drill when we go. Yeah, we'll wrap things up. That's what we do. So stay with us. More to go. It is KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Alex Curie. He is Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great as well. With the news this week, of course, that Morgan Scali being reinstated as the defensive coordinator at Utah. I think that, you know, there's this idea, Scott, of there kind of being business as usual while also expecting more. And I think that's, you know, when we started to read the findings yesterday with all the things that came down with the school, I feel like that the right decision was made. I wanted to feel like at the end of it, that the right decision was made and there wasn't just sort of a political answer that was reached. And I think that after all the findings that they did and all the players that they interviewed, there wasn't a pattern of a guy who was trying to be a terrible person. That's what I wanted to say about all of this. And I know we talked the majority of our show yesterday about it, but having 24 hours to kind of sit on it and go through the rest of the findings, not like I'm the person who does it, but I think that I represent what I think a lot of folks who are on the outside looking in represent, which is, okay, you don't want there to be just an eye roll and like they're just keeping this guy because, you know, they can get away with it. That was what I didn't want there to be a feeling of, and I didn't feel like that at the end. I feel like that Utah made the right decision or that he was fired for a political reason either.
Right.
I didn't want to feel like that either.
They got on it early, and they did it with an independent set of eyeballs. So there was no, like, prejudice. There was no, like, you know.
Home cooking, yeah. Any of that, yeah.
And it was a good move, and they did it the right way.
I was glad to see how it turned out. And frankly, I think that Utah football, and I think that college football is a better place with guys like Morgan Scali there. And the current version, right, who wants to get better, so who wants to be a better person too. All right, Scott, we're jumping in here at the end of the program. It's our two-minute drill. What does the two-minute drill mean to you, Scott?
Well, the two-minute drill means to me that it's late in the game. You got to hurry up and go down the field and score. Love the two-minute drill, but you got to hurry. And we do this in our show. We got a lot to talk about at the end of the show, so we kind of hurry up, like the two-minute drill. Oh, yeah. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things, and we win the show and finish strong. A
lot of dink and dunk passes.
Sometimes it's that way, but you know, every once in a while they give you a shot down the field. You got to take it.
It's nice.
There.
I like it.
Go deep.
Speaking of the NFL. According to sources, the NFL is going to shorten the preseason to 2 weeks. Now, normally they were playing 4 preseason games, and I remember when I was a kid, I was like intensely worried about how my Seahawks are doing in the preseason.
I hated the preseason.
I know.
Everybody hates the preseason.
So when you see this, this is an obvious move that seems like, hey, on a year like right now, making this decision is super smart. I don't see anybody
They're
being upset about this.
Well, here the thing about it.
Maybe the stadium
purveyors. The NFL actually likes this because they make more money in the preseason than they do in the regular season.
What do you mean?
Well, they charge people a ticket price, but they don't pay the players.
Oh.
Your salary.
Interesting. It's only based off of regular season. Yeah. How can they not bake in preseason games?
Because
is it because they're not really playing?
Yeah. They're exhibition games,
and
that's why
you only see the guy. They're like, he'll play the first 4 snaps, and then he'll sit on the sidelines with a sandwich.
It is not worth it. Back in the day, the preseason was everything because guys had other jobs, so they went to training camp to get into shape, and they played all these games. They had over 100 players, and training camp was like months.
I think it's a great move, and.
They already know who's going to be on the team anyways.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You sure?
I'm
positive. What about those ones that are at the very end?
With the exception of maybe 2 or 3 guys.
There's a plus or minus at the very end of it.
They know.
Okay. All right, so going down
to
the 2 games.
It's not hard to figure. Most players know. It's not hard to figure out.
From just a pure watching it on TV standpoint,
I hate it.
What do you mean you hate it?
I hate the preseason.
I like them. Like the first two quarters are amazing. And then after that, it's just background noise.
It's like the first two quarters.
I'm
going to
say it like this. So, Tom Hackett, I was asking him, like, why is it that your people down in Australia love cricket so much? I was like, who wants to watch this thing that has no end? It's like a 5-day thing. Yeah, it's a 5-day thing. He's like, that's disrespectful. We have that thing on. It's amazing. You have a barbecue going on in the backyard, and you have that thing just going on in the background. And I went, well, that's a terrible way to like rank a sporting event. Like, it's just going on in the background. You don't care if anything good is happening or not. But then I kind of get it, because when the preseason game, it's like a warm blanket, Scott. When the NFL preseason's on, you go, oh, thank goodness, something's going on in the background here. So limiting it to just two games. Now,
there's something that got warm in the blanket. That's all it is. A lot of hot air. That's it, period. That kind of smells.
I kind of don't like your attitude, Mitchell. Speaking of the NFL, and a local story here, of course, Jordan Love, the Packers' first-round 26th pick overall in the NFL draft, signed his first rookie deal, and it makes him the richest 26th pick overall ever in the NFL.
Wow. Good for him.
Over $12 million guaranteed on this four-year deal. $6.5 million of that in a signing bonus form. Scott, he made out really good.
That sounds like a guy that they want to turn into Taysom Hill, according to Brett Favre. I don't think so.
That sounds like a guy that Aaron Rodgers had total reason to get grumpy about when they picked that high.
Oh, it's a slow, painful death for Aaron Rodgers.
Because they're paying him a lot.
And it just started to... And he's probably bitter about it. He's like, why didn't I get that deal
when
I came here?
Good for Jordan Love. It's a guy who has for a long time been looked at by everybody.
It could be bad, though.
Why? Doesn't work out? He walks away with $12.5 million.
That's why it's bad. Because he could lose his incentive to... You got to bring it in the NFL, even if it's hard. Sometimes you get paid that money.
See, that's a move.
See that? Oh.
Listen, that's a move.
It's a real thing, Alex.
Hold on. That's
a
move
real thing.
That like the Rams would make and have made. That's a move that like, you know, these lesser teams will make. The Packers don't whiff on stuff like this that often. They haven't whiffed like this on quarterbacks very often.
I'm not saying that they're whiffing on it. I'm just saying that
it's difficult.
It's hard. I don't care what organization you go to. When you get paid, That incentive kind of goes out the window a little bit.
I was just really excited. Utah State quarterback going in there and getting $12.5 million guaranteed, $6.5 million.
When I really studied him and watched, this kid can throw the football.
Yes. He came back with a different attitude after you watched the film on it.
He can make the throws.
So the interesting thing about this, we talked about how the bubble is going to cost the NBA $150 million in just being able to rent the facilities, have all the players and all their support staff at all three resorts, all those things. 7 practice courts, playing games at 3 different arenas during the quarantine. It's also providing meals, coronavirus testing, and other medical support. 1,500 people that are going to be there during the height of all of this to just be able to support the NBA. It's costing $150 million. Worth every penny if it goes off, Scott. If it does not go off, it's a bad gamble.
Well, I like the NBA's creativity in finding a reasonable solution. Is it going to be the NBA that we're used to watching? No, but it's going to be something that's better than cornhole, and it's certainly better than the you know, horse shooting competition. And so I just like the effort. I like the creativity, and I like the, you know, there's going to be an NBA champion and come out of this, and the way this is set up, the Jazz probably have more of a chance than maybe they did during the regular season.
Scott, it's the end of the program here, buddy.
Uh-oh.
I want you to be safe out there.
Did I do okay, Coach?
You did awesome. Okay. Did awesome. I want you to be safe out there for the 4th of July weekend. I want everybody out there driving around to be safe as well. We're going to be looking out for you as well on this end. So, for Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Curie. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back again next week for more Unrivaled right here on KSL News Radio. For Scott, producer Jeremy, we'll see you next time, everybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.